It is a joy to be here. I'm gonna avoid the obvious. All right, we're gonna just move on. And I think there's been enough jokes and things made about that. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Luke, chapter number one. Luke chapter number one. I really, preacher's fellowships. You ever always struggle with exactly what to preach and where to, the directions. And then Brother Lee, you start talking about your life verse. I'm kind of with you. I was saved when I was eight. I was at 1975 and grew up in church and I heard that all my life and didn't really know what a life verse, how do you pick one,
right.
Anyway, long story, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10 became my life verse. And it's interesting. That's not what I'm going to preach on that. But it's interesting for me, that verse, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. For me, it's almost as God spoke to my heart and said, look, I know you're stubborn. I know you're hard-headed. When you finally realize you need me more than anything else, turn to me. I'm still here. I'm still waiting. That's my life verse, right? Hey, hard-headed, turn to God. But anyway, Ephesians 6. Luke chapter number 1, the message this morning is really, I preached this on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And it's really not a Christmas Eve, a Christmas message per se, but through the Christmas season on Sunday mornings, I preached a series of messages dealing with the names of Christ and just a few of his names. We dealt with, of course, the obvious Emmanuel, God with us, and we dealt with, I had fun with it. The second one was the root of the stem of Jesse. That was fun. I enjoyed that one. And then the third one, we dealt with David, the son of David. And then Luke chapter 1, we'll deal with this one. And this is a word that I knew was in the Bible, but I really had never stopped and looked at and thought about. If I remember correctly in the background or the study that I did for that, if I remember correctly, the word that we focused on in this passage is only mentioned four times in the entire Bible. And that's interesting. You go back and look at it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think what we see in the New Testament is a reference to that Old Testament statement. So you could take those four and kind of really boil it down into probably even just two because they are connected. But in Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to read the passage that is significant. Then we'll talk about a little bit of the background there. Luke chapter 1, if you started in verse 67, we're not going to read all of this through the end of the passage. But it says in verse 67, it says, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. So you pick up in verse 67, and it's the prophecy of Zacharias. And we'll get the background of that here in a minute. And he spends some time going through this great prophecy of that comes. And then he says in verse 76, and thou child, and he begins to talk about John the Baptist. And we've already had some preaching about John the Baptist already. But he says in verse 76, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And then in verse 78, there's a turn. And the turn that you're going to see in verse 78, we're going to see that no longer is he talking specifically about John the Baptist, but now he's going to turn and talk about Christ. He says in verse 78, through the tender mercies of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Verse 78 and verse 79 is significant because it is the discussion or the introduction, if you will, to John of the coming of Christ. Now we understand the prophecy that's going on here. Zacharias is talking about this. John has just been born. So John the Baptist really hasn't entered into his ministry as of yet. But what we're seeing the prophetic statement of all these things are going to take place. John the Baptist is here. He's the forerunner of Christ. He's promoting this. He is going before, and he's giving the message of the, and here's the word, the day spring. He's giving the message of this one that would come. Now, the significance of all this, now let's put this in context of what we're dealing with. Luke chapter 1 is an interesting introduction, or we could put it this way, it's an interesting event, because Luke chapter 1, the significance there is God is now speaking to his people once again. Now put this, connect this with the Old Testament and connect this with what's going on in the historical understanding of Israel at this point. For 400 years, God's been silent. For 400 years, it seems like the heavens have been brass.
Yep.
And now God's going to break that silence, and we understand, we could preach, I did a whole series on characters, and we could do Zacharias and talk about how that God broke the silence by going to Zacharias and speaking to him.
That's right.
And then the first prophetic utterance that we see is this utterance here in verse 67, where Zacharias stands up and he begins to speak to the children of Israel, the great prophetic utterance of God. 400 years of silence. Well, I find this interesting. This might preach a little bit in verse 67. The first thing that God says, 400 years of silence, the first thing that God says through the prophet is this. Blessed, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For 400 years there's silence, and when God breaks the silence, what does he say? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen. That's a good place to start. So we build on that and we go forward from there. And he gives us, we're not going to read the prophecy there, and he speaks about all of this. But he gets down to this idea of the day spring. Well, I began to look at this idea of the day spring and what that meant. That day spring, it dealt with the idea of a renewal. It deals with the idea, it's really kind of connected. Matter of fact, I titled the message, The Rising of the Sun, S-O-N. That day spring, it deals with that rising of the sun, that newness of the day, that breaking of the darkness, and you know, that idea of the day spring and what Christ is going to do for specifically for the children of Israel here, but also for us. Let me just give you the main thoughts of the message, and it really helped me just in focusing my heart and mind and realizing, listen, sometimes we go through seasons of darkness. Now we look back and we're all talking about resolution. I'm not a resolution guy. I'm not, because I'm in that, all those percentages, I forget. I'm in that percentage that never keeps them. You know, that's me. I realized it was easier not to make them than it was just to make them and break them. But anyway, I'm not a big resolution guy. But we go back and we look at the past year. And we look at the highs and the lows. Maybe there's some churches. Maybe there's some churches represented here that had a great year and everything was wonderful and everything was just topside and everything went well, and God bless you if you're here. Amen?
Amen.
I don't pastor that church. Now, I'm not saying everything was terrible and horrible at our church. God blessed and we did. God showed up. But we had some difficulties along the way. We've had some ups and downs, and I guess I don't need to, again, go back and bring up the obvious. But you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that it doesn't matter how dark it gets. I serve the God who is the day spring. The first thing that I noticed with this in verse number 79, we talked, we'll go back to verse 78 and then we'll deal with the thought here. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Oh, time out. Let me back up. Let's redo. Let's give you one more thought here that just jumped out to me as I read through this. Christ has not been born yet. But what does it say in our verse? This day spring from on high hath visited us.
Yes, sir.
See, in the prophetic mind of Zacharias and the prophetic statement of God, it's like it's already happened.
That's right.
God's looking at this saying, no, y'all don't get it. I see it. It's already done. We get so wrapped up in the moment, and we get so wrapped up in, boy, it's so hard and it's so difficult and I'm struggling. And God's saying, hey, I see the end of it. It's coming.
Right.
You just trust me. You just stay faithful. You just keep walking. Hey, the day spring's coming.
Amen.
It may be dark. It may look rough, but the sun's coming up in the morning.
Amen.
Number one, notice this. Just three quick things. Number one, this day spring breaks the reign of darkness. He'll break the reign of darkness. But you don't know how dark it is in my... But I do know about that new creature. I do know about a change he can make in my life. I do know about the fact that he can change. He can change you want to. I can do anything that I want to do. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe that God will change your want to. Because we're a new creature. Three things very quickly about this idea of breaking the reins of darkness. Number one, it'll reveal darkness in our life. He said this in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness.
Yeah.
You ever been in a place where, when I was growing up, I grew up out in the country. And I used to get in a lot of trouble. Because we'd be playing outside, it'd start getting dark. We lived out on out in the country. We had paved roads out where I live. We had old rock road out in front of the house, and it was that old white rock. And we'd get out there playing, and the darker it would get, the closer we'd get to the road, because that white rock you could see out there, you know. And Mama used to call and say, "You need to come in. It's getting dark." And we'd always say, "But it's not dark on the road." How did we figure out it was time to go in? Usually we was playing football out there with the neighborhood kids. And usually the way we knew it was the time to go in is when the football hit you in the head, you didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
You know, it got so dark. You ever been in a place where it just kind of got so dark you didn't realize it was even getting dark?
Right. Yeah.
Or you ever been sitting in the darkness and somebody turned on the light and wow, I didn't realize it was that dark.
Yes, sir.
See, there are people today that don't realize the darkness they're in. See, there are a lot of folks being raised up in this country that don't understand. They don't know any different. They need somebody to stand up. I think somebody's already said it this morning. They need to stand up. Somebody needs to stand up and say, you don't need to live that way. You don't have to do that. There's a difference. God will reveal darkness. He'll remove that darkness from our life. Boy, I like this one. Not only will he remove it, then he'll restrain it.
Amen.
I'm glad he'll hold it at bay. I'm glad if we can walk in the light of God and walk in the light of the Word and walk in the light of the Scriptures, that He'll hold back that darkness and He'll give us a path. I like that old verse that we teach our children. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
Boy, some of us need to get a hold of that. Because it'll show us where we are. It'll show us where we're going. But we got to get in the Word to find that truth and look for what God wants us to do. Number one, it breaks the reign of darkness. Number two, it brings a new day.
Amen.
It brings a new day. You ever laid your head on your pillow at night and just think, boy, I hope tomorrow's better than today was. You ever just had one of those? My mama told me there'd be days like this. She just didn't tell me there'd be so many so close together. Yes, sir. And then we could take this and turn it to a New Year's Day message, but really it's not tied just to that. But the idea is this, that day spring deals with the idea of giving us that new day. He goes back in verse 79, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Amen.
See, God wants to guide us. He wants to give us a new outlook. He wants to give us the hope and understanding that God's still doing something and God's still working and God's still on the throne.
Amen.
I was listening to a message this morning coming to the meeting, and Brother Dan Carr Sr. was the pastor I was listening to, and he said something. He said this. He said a friend of his gave him a series of messages on audio from G.W. Truett. And he said that Brother Truett preached a message in December of 1941. Now that ought to be significant if you know your history.
Yeah.
He preached it not the day of the weekend of Pearl Harbor, but he preached it the next weekend. Because when he preached that Sunday, news still hadn't gotten to them what had happened at Pearl Harbor. So the next Sunday, he preached. And Brother Carr said this. He said, I was listening and I thought, well, I want to find out what he preached. The Sunday after Pearl Harbor. Thousands of men had died. America is now plunged into world war. What did Brother Truett preach when he stepped in the pulpit there in Dallas, Texas, that next Sunday? The title of his message when he preached that next Sunday was this, God's still on his throne.
Amen.
Listen, it may look dark and it may look bad and it may look horrible, but God's still on the throne. Yes. Hey, we can focus on him. God has a new day coming and we can be refreshed and we can be uplifted because God's still on the throne and God's still moving and God's still working. He wants to give us a new outlook. He wants to give us new opportunities. He wants to give us that new outcome if we will walk and follow him, that day spring that wells up in our hearts. And then notice this. He said to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. We need to understand, number three, that he will bless us with, and boy, I like this, with new growth. What is your prayer for your church this year? My prayer is new growth.
Yes, sir.
Now, preacher, I figured it out, I know. I understand now you're all about numbers. No. I didn't say specifically numerical growth.
That's right.
See, what we need in our church is some new growth.
Yes, sir.
What we need in our church is just to understand that what we need to be closer to God today than we were yesterday.
Right.
We've got to focus our hearts and minds on the fact that God, number one, is going to provide our need.
Yes.
Our need. Well, we have a hard time separating our greed from our need. God's promised he'll supply our need. One of the hardest things for me to get and understand is if God doesn't give it to me, that probably means I don't need it. Oh, but God, I could do so much more. But God knows my heart. God knows what I'm going to do. And God provides exactly what I need in his time to do what he wants me to do. We need to understand this day spring will promote a growth. It'll promote a provision of need. It'll promote a new branch, a new blessing. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about something extra biblical and I'm not talking about, you know, this charismatic running around. What I'm dealing with is we've all got to grow in grace. You plant a bush, you plant a tree, you plant a vegetable, something, you're looking for new growth there. And if that thing doesn't grow very long, you're going to do something about it. You're going to prune it. You're going to fertilize. You're going to do something. I'm not a gardener. I don't know much about that. You want something to die, I can kill it. But, but they tell me that, if it's not growing like it ought to, what they do is they begin to prune it and they begin to take care of it and they begin to do special things for it because they're expecting new growth because that's what a plant does. It grows. That's what Christians do. We grow. Bible talks about this, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's something that is produced in us. And if we don't see that growth and we don't see that newness, we need to back up and say, God, why am I not seeing growth in my life? Baptists don't like this. I'm gonna quit. Baptists don't like this. You start defining what's the definition of backsliding. What's the definition? I'll define backsliding for you. Backsliding's that drunkard. Backsliding's that adulterer. That fornicator. No, the definition, by definition, the meaning of backsliding is being farther away from God today than you were yesterday. That's backsliding. Well, I've not committed adultery, but are you as close to God today as you were yesterday? See, we've got to get the, God wants to grow us, and it's that day spring of Christ working in us, making that new creature,
Amen.
growing us, drawing us unto Himself, conforming us unto His image, are we allowing the day spring to rise in our life?
Amen.
My desire for Calvary Baptist Church this year is that we might see some growth.
Amen.
Now, what is that going to mean? Is that going to mean God's got to prune us a little bit? Does that mean God may have to fertilize us a little bit? Give us a little extra rain? I don't know what it's going to look like or what it's going to mean. My heart's desire is that day spring will be real and will be effectual in my life
Amen.
And the life of our church.